You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, here in the Right Side Studios. And I mean, we cover down on the local, the state, the national, man. We got all of the stuff. And like the dude just said, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. All right. Well, listen, let me move to my comments here. I was looking through the news, getting ready for today, thinking through how I wanted to address my opening monologue. Would it be tied into my triple dipper? Is it something new? And then I saw something, and it just brought back memories, and I thought, I know what I'm doing now. Listen, let me say this. It's amazing how certain things have become acceptable, and certain things have also fallen from acceptance. I mean, culture has a way of shifting with the winds, and it's not always a good thing. The fickle whims of culture should never be a measuring stick for what is right. If it were, the left would have trashed the Constitution a long time ago. I remember that both my grandfathers were smokers for most of their lives. Both of them had strokes in their later years. They quit smoking overnight. My maternal grandfather, my mom's side, he smoked Bel Airs. I remember that all the packs came with a Raleigh Bel Air coupon. If you saved them up, you could buy some pretty good stuff from the Raleigh Bel Air catalog. So my paternal grandfather on my dad's side, he smoked filterless Camels, and they were rough. Don't ask me how I know they were rough. It's not like I ever snuck a smoke or two out back of the house when I was 11 years old or anything like that. Don't worry about it. Anyway, Granddaddy, he smoked those Camels regularly, but Granny made him sit out on the porch and not smoke them inside. Well, both brands marketed their wares to the kind of men my grandfathers were. Bel Airs, they were endorsed by movie tough guy Lee Marvin, but yet they had a sharp image and a progressive futuristic logo, just right for my grandfather, who was an Army general and engineer who worked on missiles and the original hydrogen bombs. Camels, they were tough, no-nonsense, filterless, kind of a working man smoke. Also fitting then for my grandfather, who was a steel worker and grew up in a big family in the hardscrabble Depression-era South. You see, marketing's everything. Cigarettes are no different than any other product in trying to find a way to appeal to a broad audience in a competitive market. And in that vein, along came a suave and debonair dude to represent cigarettes. The guy that every guy wanted to be like. He had all the ladies. He had all the cool factor. He drove the best cars. He was James Bond, the Marlboro Man, and Audie Murphy all rolled into one. He was also a cartoon character designed to sell cigarettes, and his name was simply Joe the Camel. Now, Joe Camel was the branding mascot for Camel cigarettes. He was first used in Europe in the mid-70s, but he burst onto the U.S. advertising scene in 1988 and immediately became one of the most recognized advertising images anywhere. At one point, the Journal of the American Medical Association conducted a study and found that after just 3 years, that Joe Camel was instantly recognizable by 91% of all children who participated in the study, second only to Mickey Mouse, believe it or not. And those same children, they identified Joe Camel with cigarettes. Within 3 years more, Joe Camel became synonymous with Camel cigarettes. Another study came out and concluded that Camel's underage smokers had grown in number by 38%. And in 1992, a San Francisco attorney filed suit against R.J. Reynolds Tobacco, the parent company of Camel, alleging that Camel was in fact targeting underage citizens with the sole intent of increasing their market share among teens. Well, of course, R.J. Reynolds denied it. But within the text of the lawsuit against the tobacco giant, was the allegation that Reynolds Tobacco had actually grown their profits from underage smokers from a mere $6 million to over $476 million in just 4 years. Democrat California Congressman Henry Waxman, he pressed Congress to take action. That resulted in a Federal Trade Commission conducting three separate investigations over several years, eventually resulting in a finding that R.J. Reynolds Tobacco had unreasonably and knowingly targeted underage citizens. But then the true smoking gun emerged. In the mid-90s, an older 1974 R.J. Reynolds internal marketing department presentation was found. And the very first section of that presentation dealt with how to target young voters from the ages of 14 and up. It talked about the growing importance, it said, of the young adult in the tobacco market, that this group will, quote, represent 27% of the adult market in 1975, and that, quote, these are the smokers of tomorrow. the document showed that they apparently were, in fact, targeting kids. And in 1997, under a lot of pressure, R.J. Reynolds retired Joe the Camel. They went back to a more mundane, kind of historical image of a simple, more true-to-life camel on their packs. Joe the Camel outraged the authorities. His influence on children was seen as dangerous, and the intent in having such a likable, cartoonish mascot was simply to cultivate a strong first and early impression and to create what R.J. Reynolds' own study designated as the smokers of tomorrow. Well, isn't it amazing? Don't you wish that the worst thing upon us these days was just the idea of a cartoon camel encouraging kids to smoke? I find it deeply disturbing that in my lifetime, that it was a lawyer and a congressman, both from California, who saw fit to lead a charge against a major corporate entity because they felt the corporation was enticing kids, trying to lure kids into a lifestyle, literally grooming kids to be the next generation of smokers. And yet now, we have drag queens performing at so-called family-friendly events, and we're told that to question it is tantamount to domestic terrorism. Parents and concerned citizens who dare to question, complain, or worse yet, protest against the idea of men cross-dressing in hypersexualized women's clothing with exaggerated female characteristics, literally lampooning and objectifying women, dancing provocatively while making lewd remarks, that somehow, if we oppose this distorted behavior, that it's a gross affront to the rights of the gay community. Never mind the simple fact, a fact that requires very little effort to mentally assent to, that parents should always be wary of a man who dresses as a woman and dances and speaks provocatively to their children. I mean, there's nothing normal or comfortable about any of it. And yet they come, often by invitation, to schools and libraries and community centers, and they host drag queen story hours. Has anyone asked why the makeup is needed if they're going to just read stories? If you're there to read stories, just go read the stories. Dressing up as a drag queen is completely unnecessary if you're really there for story time. You're not. You're there for a purpose. Everyone knows they're doing it for the simple and clearly stated purpose of grooming the next generation. They are attempting to normalize abnormal and unhealthy behavior. How do I know this? Because they say so themselves. It's no secret. You can see the mission statement on the national website of the organization Drag Story Hour. It's an actual organization, Drag Story Hour. You can go to it.org, which reads, and here's the quote, quote, storytellers use the art of drag to read books to kids in libraries, schools, and bookstores. Drag Story Hour captures the imagination and the play of gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where everyone can be their authentic selves, end quote. An unabashedly queer role model. Well, the concept of being a, quote, role model is to encourage others to emulate behavior. It's to follow the example set by the role model. In short, the leadership of Drag Story Hour admits, sort of like R.J. Reynolds admitted that it was targeting underage kids with Joe the Camel, Drag Story Hour admits their sole purpose is to create the next generation of drag queens. Ask yourself, how is this any different than Joe the Camel? And yet, my God, how do I wish that Joe the Camel was all we had to worry about? Have we as a nation gone so far down the path of depravity and indifference that we don't see the irony in knowing that Joe the Camel is considered bad, but men dressed as women performing sex acts is not? Joe the Camel. Well, he's got nothing on drag queens, and he's probably less harmful to get down to it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yep, I remember distinctly Joe the Camel. And he was cool, I'll be honest. I mean, everybody wanted the T-shirt, Joe the Camel. Joe the Camel had all the stuff. He had all the right cars, all the right moves, all the right clothes, all the right chicks. But he was targeting kids. And yet now we can have an organization like Drag Queen Story Hour put on their website that they are intentionally targeting kids with the sole intent of helping build up the next generation of drag queens. And they come to the schools and the libraries, and we're not supposed to say anything about it? Well, I got news. If they can be outraged about Joe the Camel, we can be outraged about Drag Queen Story Hour. There you go. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Got a call on the line, Boomer? We do. Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Sparky from Harvest, long-time caller, first-time listener. superior job on the monologue, sir. Superior production skills on the part of Boomer. You are absolutely right. The indoctrination that's underway in our public school system to pervert our children, destroy their home lives, bring them over to the side of mental illness and the celebration of deviance is in full swing. And to the first point of your triple dipper, strong feelings about a possible red wave in November. Remember, those of you listening, there will be no wave, no red wave at all, if you don't get your butts to the polls on voting day.
Yeah.
That means you can't listen to all the good news about the good polls and Republicans are going to win in a landslide. That's how Barack Obama won re-election years ago.
Yep.
You got to get out. You got to encourage everybody in your family to get out. And if you have employees and coworkers, you encourage them to take time off. You do what you can do to get everybody to get to the polls and vote. Because it won't happen unless we all do it together. We got to vote.
Totally right. Totally on point, man. Appreciate you, Sparky. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. He is absolutely right. What a great segue into today's first segment. We're going to be talking here in just a minute about midterm momentum. But there is no momentum if you don't go and vote, like the man said. And honestly, we need it. We need it, and we need it in a big way. If you have friends, especially if you have friends in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Arizona, those three states, Ohio is also a big one, although it looks like J.D. Vance is going to pull that Senate seat out. But right now, like almost too close to call in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. Big poll came out this past weekend. Dr. Oz apparently is up now in four points in one poll over Fetterman in Pennsylvania. But listen, if you have friends or family in those states, just remind them, every vote counts. I cannot have that kind of conversation without telling two stories that I've told before, but I got to relate them again. Macro and micro. All right. On the micro, I literally have a friend. I was her attorney in a case to challenge an election on a local town council. She lost by one vote. One single vote. She found out later on that a couple who were friends of hers that were supposed to go vote for her got busy and forgot to go to the polls. And those two people would have changed the entire election. I mean, how amazing. And I hope they're still friends. But anyway, the bottom line is she lost by one single vote, and it was one couple forgetting to go to the polls that made the difference. But then you look at the national, the macro. Think about this. Down in the Bush-Gore election in, what was that, 2000? Bush-Gore, 2000, everything came down to one county, Broward County, in Florida. Some of y'all remember hanging chads because Florida had this really awkward way of voting where you had a piece of paper and you poked holes in it. Instead of writing on it like we do most of the time with ours, you poked a hole in it. And if you didn't poke hard enough, then the little piece of paper that might be hanging off the back was called a chad. No one knew what a chad was until that election. They literally had boxes of ballots that you couldn't tell whether it was a hanging chad or just a defect in the paper. And they had to scrutinize. And it went on for, what, a month and a half? And so the entire nation came down to roughly 300 votes in one county in one state. That's what it took. So, folks, every vote counts. So if you got friends in those, I mean, the Republicans, the conservatives are going to wind up winning in Alabama. It does not mean you don't go vote because you want to know you took part in the process. You didn't sit idly at home. It also does several things, too. It expresses momentum. And I tell you another thing it does. Alabama has some of the tightest election laws in the state, or in the nation. We need to show massive turnout because it tells Democrats all your claims, your fears, your worries, your fear-mongering about the fact that we have tight election laws. It didn't disenfranchise anybody. We had record turnout. Let's do it, man. Let's go vote. We're almost there. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.